For the first message today, I would like to delve into a scripture in the Bible that oftentimes can bring forth a question. And difficult scriptures at times are things that are important to address, to understand what it is that God has to say about these things. And this particular scripture contains a certain interaction that took place between Jesus and his disciples. And it also pertains to the Holy Spirit. And because tomorrow's Pentecost, I thought this would be a good time to delve into this topic and see what it is that the Bible does say and answer the question, honestly, that at times comes forward surrounding this passage. So if you would follow me to John chapter 20 to begin today. John chapter 20, again, an interaction between Jesus and the 12, or 11 of them at this time. But John chapter 20 and verse 19 is where we'll pick it up and gather some context. And it says, "Then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, it says, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw that it was the Lord." This is following, obviously, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" And so this is the overall context, but the question that comes up oftentimes revolves around verse 22, where it says that Jesus breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And you know, the question that sometimes comes up is, did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ at that time? Because you see, we've always taught in the Church of God that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and they received it. And yet, if you look at this scripture just sort of as a sliver on its own, it may seem like they received the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ on this day. And so there are on occasions questions. Like all difficult scriptures, it's important we don't rush to judgment without first considering what does the passage say and what does the passage not say. And it's also important as well to consider other scriptures that pertain to the same topic. What do they add in terms of information and understanding? Because we don't always want to just take a sliver out and say, "I'm going to build a doctrine on this," when you have a whole body of information to consider. So what about this scripture? Did Jesus impart the Holy Spirit to the disciples on that day when he breathed on them? And are there other passages in the Bible that would indicate that he did so? Because with such a momentous event, you would expect to see other proof, other reinforcement that was indeed the case. Now, what's interesting about this account is that there's no other parallel descriptions of this event in the other Gospels. If you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, none of them record this incident where Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So this is the only verse that we have in this context. But there is other information. There are a number of other additional passages that do clearly show when and how the Holy Spirit would come, and even to these 12, when it would come. And we have to consider all those things in the context if we're going to have a complete understanding. Before we leave John chapter 20, let's notice again what it does say as well as what it does not say. So John chapter 20, verse 22 says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.' And while the concept may seem to be that Jesus imparted the Holy Spirit to them at that moment when he breathed on them, it actually doesn't say that that was the case. There's no follow-up comments such as, "and they received the Holy Spirit from that hour forward." Now, you find that kind of qualifier oftentimes in other places. In fact, there's no indication in the scriptures that Jesus' disciples received the Holy Spirit before the day of Pentecost. No changed behavior, no speaking in tongues, None of the manifestations of the Spirit that you saw was within them and came from them following the day of Pentecost. Those things aren't present between this point and Pentecost. Additionally, as we read on further, what we find is there's no mention of the Holy Spirit coming upon them at all as they convey to Thomas what had just happened, because, you see, Thomas was not there with them. So if we read forward from this point, verse 23, again, Jesus said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." It says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' And so he said to him, to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Verse 26, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut." It appeared he just walked through the doors or walked through the wall. This was after his resurrection again. And it says, "And he stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.'" So as we read through this, there's no mention to Thomas from the disciples about the fact that they had received the Holy Spirit. They did say, "We've seen the Lord, and he's alive," and they rejoiced in that, but they didn't say, "We've seen him, and he gave us the Spirit." And furthermore, 8 days later, when Jesus appeared to them again, Thomas, happy to see him, and in fact, touched him, and you know, proof that's really him, though, didn't follow up with, "Well, I want the Spirit now as well. You gave it to them, I wasn't here, and I'd like to receive it." So again, the question comes down to, at what point did they receive the Spirit? If it was only this passage in the Bible we had to go on, we would probably spend more time wrestling with it. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Spirit." But again, there's other Bible passages, brethren, that we look at that do in fact show when it was that Jesus conferred the Spirit upon them. John chapter 16 gives us confirmation that the Holy Spirit would not come to the disciples at a time that Jesus Christ was actually present with them, either before or after the resurrection. In fact, it shows that he would depart before the Holy Spirit was sent. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Again, this is now back before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he's giving them teaching, telling them that there will be a helper, there will be a comforter that comes to them. And in verse 7 of John 16, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus said, "I will send him to you." He said, essentially in this passage, that the Holy Spirit would not come to them while he was in their presence. The fact that he would depart, and then the Holy Spirit would be sent to them. And you know, that's quite different than him giving it to them while he was in their presence. And that's why it was actually to their advantage that he go away, because he would return to his Father, and he would send that promise of the Father. You know, if I told you I was going to send you a get well card, if I was standing face to face with you, I could just hand it to you. I could just give it to you. So sent is a different context. It is, we're going to be separated. I'm going to send to you. Jesus said the Spirit would be sent. Verse chapter 15, if we just back up to the top of the page in my Bible, verse 26, Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you," again, that word send, "from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witnesses because of me, because you have been with me from the beginning." So clearly, according to Jesus' own words, he would have to go away, again, for the Holy Spirit to come to his disciples. And he told them that he would send it to them. He didn't deliver it to them when they were face to face. Again, the evidence doesn't support that premise. And the Helper also would come, as Jesus said in other places, that, you know, "I'm departing and God will send you another Helper." Because, you see, the point was, in the flesh, Jesus Christ was the disciples' Helper. He walked and talked with them. He slept with them. He ate with them, and he taught them. He was their helper while he was with them, but he would be departing, and they would need that strength that God would send then through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He just said, it's to your advantage that I go away, and I will send the Spirit to you. And brethren, that's exactly what the Bible shows took place. Jesus Christ departed their presence and returned to his Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit came to them. I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'm actually going to refrain from going to Acts chapter 2 that shows the full fulfillment of this, because tomorrow is Pentecost, and we will be visiting those scriptures tomorrow. But if we look at Acts chapter 1, we see as well that this is the promise and the reassurance from Christ. Indeed, this is what would take place. He would leave, the Holy Spirit would come. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 says, being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. What was the promise of the Father that he had discussed with the disciples? Well, again, it was the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It had not come upon them prior to this point. You could look at other scriptures that show the Holy Spirit of God was working with them. Christ said, it is with you and it will be in you. But at this point, it had not come upon them. But he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, they watched as he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. These were the same men that had been with Jesus Christ in that room when he breathed on them. They stood there now and watched him ascend to heaven. He went to the right hand of his Father where he sits today, and yet they had not received the Holy Spirit. Yet it would come. Christ said, wait. He said, tarry in Jerusalem. He left them and ascended to the Father 10 days before Pentecost, and he said, wait here, and I will send you the promise which you have heard, the promise from my Father, which I have told you about. And indeed, they waited and they received the promise of the Holy Spirit on that day. Again, we'll save Acts chapter 2 for tomorrow, for the holy day of Pentecost. But brethren, again, it's clear from the scripture that the disciples did not receive the Holy Spirit until the events of Pentecost took place. In John chapter 20, it does not show them receiving it at that point. But what it does show is Jesus instructing them to receive the Spirit, which they did when it came on the day of Pentecost.